In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Job answered and said, "How long will ye vex my soul? And how long, and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have ye reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I crying out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It seems that Job softens his tone some in this passage, in this chapter. While we have seen Job speaking in some sense vociferously, combatively, confrontationally against his three, air quotes here, friends, that in this passage he seems a bit softer than he has in others. Okay, so we do understand that there is some variation in what Job is saying. That there are times when Job is stronger and times when Job is weaker. There are times when Job will present his case most forcefully to his friends, and other times where he will plead with his friends. In this case, he pleads with his friends. He does appeal to their sense of sympathy for him, which they seem to have had very little up to this point, if any at all. They have, remember, they have called him a hypocrite. They have called him prideful. They have called him a wicked sinner with some particular sin unknown to them, known only to Job and God. Oh, come on, Job, just confess it, and then God will treat you nicely. He'll be nice to you then. They don't understand what's going on with Job's condition. They have been those miserable comforters. They have rather piled on top of the chastisement, of the pressure, of the heaviness of hand that God has laid upon Job. So we learn something from Job, and we learn something from the friends. First of all, we learn something from Job. That is that there are times when we are more apt and sometimes we are less apt to receive correction and instruction. Job is more apt in this chapter, and he appeals to his friends on the part of their sympathy rather than be so confrontational as he has been up to this point. This is a good thing for us to remember, that there are times where our quote-unquote instincts, our guts, will lead us in the wrong direction. And we will be perhaps confrontational when we need not to be. So that's the first thing we learn here, is let us guide our response to criticism and correction. Let us have the Scriptures guide that. Let us be sensitive to the hand of God as it may come through others. Secondly, then, on behalf of the friends. Well, we have several things, right? As Job now appeals to their sympathy, let us be sympathetic toward those who are suffering. Let us not have that attitude of the three friends that say, with one eyebrow raised, "Oh, I know why he's suffering." Let us remember that whatever it is that any one of us suffer under, that should the Lord search us out, he would find plenty of fodder for chastisement. They have been rather unsympathetic. They have rather behaved themselves in such a way that would maybe be vocalized like this: "Job, you know, we haven't sinned anything like you have. Look at us and look at you. Come clean, Job. Stop this stubbornness, stop this hypocrisy, and stop with your pride." And for Job, these are further blows upon him. Remember, at the beginning of the chapter, I'm sorry, at the beginning of the book, wave upon wave, blow upon blow. And now, as we've gone now all the way down to chapter 19, we see the same waves and blows, except now they come from his friends. And so in Job's description here, he describes himself as a man truly pathetic, truly worthy of pathos, of sympathy, rising up from those who come round him. And yet, notice also that he finds none. He calls his servant, and his servant blows him off. He speaks to his wife, and she says, "I don't know you." Right? "Your breath is strange to me." That's what that means. "I don't know who you are." He speaks, although he had sacrificed and interceded for his children, he speaks to children now, and they laugh. They mock him. God himself has presented himself to Job as his enemy. And now his friends have come. And what have they done? They've piled on. And Job is basically saying, "Don't you guys get it yet? I have not an ounce of relief. Have pity on me. Have pity on me." That's where Job is now. Now, what would such a man do as Job in such an estate? Exactly what Job does. Even though my servants and my children and my wife and the beast of the field and my own body, and it seems that God turn against me and all my friends, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I will not be pushed off of that. How could this chapter end except in that way? I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the end of days, these feet will stand upon the earth. And this flesh, although it has been ravaged by worms, will be reconstituted. And these eyes will see Him. Not another. It's Him I will behold. And it'll be with these eyes. He will draw me back into His fellowship and favor in His time. I am confident of that. Could we be confident under such waves as Job has suffered? Notice, remember what Satan said about Job at the very beginning. Of course Job serves you, God. Of course he serves you. You've taken really good care of him, haven't you? What about now? Has Job been well taken care of? Well, there's a sense in which we could answer that to the positive, because at the end of the book, we're going to find out something about Job, and Job's going to find out something about Job that he knew not. We get that. But at such a time as this, in the depths of his despair, when he has even given up the strength to contend for himself anymore, and he says to his friends, "Have pity on me." At such a time as that, will Job remain faithful? Well, we've already answered that. Most certainly, he has remained faithful. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, must we. No matter what the difficulty, no matter what the affliction, no matter the straits, no matter the threat, no matter the persecution, we must remain faithful. And we will do so, the Lord helping us, because we have not such strength in ourselves. And so when we come to the end of chapter 19 of the book of Job, we hear that Job possesses an otherworldly, a divine faith. Divine in the sense that it comes from God. It is His gift, and human beings can't maintain this kind of faithfulness except it be a gift from God. Thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 19. Let's